I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
News, traffic, and the latest from the world of sports. This is Rush Hour Sports on 104.1 FM KMOX.
All right, good to be with you guys. Welcome in. It's Tuesday here on Rush Hour Sports. Matt Pauly is out. Nate Gatter is in. I'm Kevin Wheeler. Good to be with you guys. Nate, what's up, buddy?
The way you said Matt Pauly is out, Nate Gatter is in, kind of made it sound like it was
a substitution.
It was something more significant than it was. Nate Gatter is filling in.
Matt Pauly
is very much not out.
No, that's a good point. Out tonight, and obviously Nate is in. Matt will be back, I think, next week. We'll keep you updated on that. But he's going to be back, I think, early next week. That's kind of the plan. We'll see how that goes. What's going on, man? What's new?
Not much. How are you doing?
You know, staring out my window waiting for baseball stuff to happen.
Yeah,
no, I'm kidding.
I'm watching college football.
I'm all over college football and the NFL and all that, too. Just, it's that time, you know, the GM meetings have started today. And it's, you know, this group of meetings is kind of, you know, well, it's more like wait and see, right? Hurry up and wait, and then we'll get to the winter meetings, and hopefully between now and then we'll have some action. But, you know, I think what's fun right now in baseball, we're going to do this today. We're going to kind of walk through a bunch of stuff here on the show. And today, you know, with the holiday, we don't have traffic updates. We got a little more time to play around, so this is a good day to do this. And I want to invite everybody listening to jump in, whether you're on the stream. So if you're on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, you're able to jump right in there into the chat. You can text 314-436-7900 if you want to get in on this. But we're talking cap and floor, okay? We're not going to argue about whether or not there should be a salary cap. For the purpose of this exercise, we're just going to talk about what would need to happen and how do you do it, right? So we know the players are going to fight any form of limitation on player salaries. We know the owners are going to fight for as many restrictions as they can. We're taking that fight out of it, and we're trying to get to the nuts and bolts of, okay, let's say we're going to do this. How does it look? Right? Because everybody wants a, I mean, I see a lot of buzz from fans who want to have a cap, and unfortunately, sometimes the NFL's cap and floor system is what's credited for them having the parity that they do. It's not really. It's the short schedule. And by the way, there are way more dynasties in the NFL than there are in baseball. But as you and I were talking about, Nate, more than the practical matters here. Image matters. And baseball fans don't like the salary inequities. And finding solutions to that is, whether it's a spreadsheet problem or not, it's actually a perception problem, and perception affects reality.
Yeah, I think anybody who, you know, works in marketing or branding or whatever could tell you that that's, it's not enough to have a good product, right?
Right.
If you have a good product, but people perceive it as being not very good,
right.
It's kind of, you know, folks will talk about like how many plane crashes have to happen for people to lose faith in flying, right? It's not very many. It can be, you know, if 0.1% of planes in the United States went down, a lot of people would be canceling their tickets for the next day. So I say that to say, I think in an industry where baseball is scrapping for market share, like everybody else is, like any other business, it's scrapping for your dollars and your time and your viewership, whether that's at the ballpark or on TV or your listenership on the radio or your consumption of their other content, all of those things baseball wants. How you perceive baseball matters, and how you perceive the NFL in relative terms, how you perceive the NBA in relative terms. Those things matter to them. And so to that extent, I think it's kind of what you're talking about is process over outcome in some ways, right?
Yeah.
People have to feel confident in the process. If you say, well, the Dodgers don't win every year, and that's not enough to people if they feel like, well, when the Dodgers don't win, it's because they got upset by someone and that was a fluke. But when they do win, it's exactly what we expected to happen. People want to see, I think, a process that feels more fair, not just results that ultimately work out in a sort of fair way.
Yeah, I think this is the thing, right? I mean, there are more dynasties in the NFL than in baseball. But how you get there is different, right? The Chiefs dynasty is not because they're outspending anybody. Now, some of it's more luck-based, though, right? Do you end up drafting a quarterback that ends up being Patrick Mahomes or Ryan Leaf?
Yeah.
You know, and it's sometimes the top guy, and he wasn't even the top guy. But, you know, like, that's kind of the point. There is a skill to that, but there's also some luck involved when it comes to it. But you still have a team like the Browns who can be, they're the Pirates of the NFL. Oh, they spend to the floor, but they still suck every year, and they have for 40 years. I'm a person that doesn't care about the how. I just care about the what. What's the end result? But I know that's not the reality for a lot of fans. And I think that just to walk through the ins and outs of, all right, so what does it take? So if we're going to say let's just say in a fantasy world, the players are going to agree to a cap and floor system. What's the cap? Let's start with that. Where do you set the cap knowing these facts? Okay. The top end of the total payrolls is about $350 million. And you've got the Mets and the Dodgers right around that. And then you've got the Yankees at $300, the Phillies around $300. And then it drops down to $250, $230, $225. So there's a pretty big gap between 1 and 6. There's a $100 million gap between 1 and 6, which is a big gap. But the median payroll in Major League Baseball is $130. That's what the Cardinals are. So the Cardinals have the 20th highest payroll for 2025, and that's the median. So based on knowing that the median is 130, the highest end now is 350. Where do we set a cap if we're going to go with this theoretically? Is it 300? Is it 350? How do we get the Dodgers and Yankees to agree to cut $50 million in payroll, and how do we do that with players who have guaranteed contracts?
Right. I think that's, you know, ultimately one of the things that the caveat we're going to keep coming back to today is X, but X is not practical, right? To me, if the goal of this is to satiate fans, and satiate kind of makes it sound like you're, you know, this is, that has a negative connotation. If the goal is to try to engage and meet fans in these secondary markets who feel like the process is unfair to them and who are losing faith in baseball as a result, right? The Pittsburghs and the Cincinnati's of the world, I feel like it can't be much higher than like 250. But that's a huge amount of money for those top teams.
You're going to tell the Yankees to drop $100 million.
Right. So that's why, again, not practical.
Right.
But to me, if you set the cap at, you know, $300 million, I think people are like, okay.
Hey,
that's like three teams' salaries. You know, pools are going down.
Yeah, right now there are only three teams above 300. And then it's, you know, two of them are 40 and 50 million above that. Everybody else is below 300 already.
So I don't think that moves the needle for anyone.
You just have to tie it to just, I know that in a practice, see, this is where we're talking about this in today's dollars. In practicality, this will be tied to a percentage of revenue.
Right, right.
So the numbers will go up. Like the NFL cap goes up all the time.
Right. What we're talking about is relative to where the top spenders are now, where would we have to put it, and then it would increase essentially with revenue.
Right. The NHL does this. All of the capped leagues have cap numbers that go up as revenue goes up. And they could conceivably go down if revenue really crashes.
Which would be really interesting in baseball because it, one of the things it's done, in particular in the NBA, is create some sort of unintended consequences of players at certain junctures deliberately taking short-term contracts, even when they could have gotten much longer-term, yeah. much bigger guarantees, because for guys who are making the max, they're... competition, if you will, for salary is not negotiating with teams. Every team is willing to pay them the maximum they're allowed. What they're doing is fighting against the CBA and fighting against the whatever the cap is, and therefore what their percentage of the whatever their dollar figure is based on the percentage of the cap they're maximally entitled to. And so you see instances where guys either, you know, with a LeBron James, it's been more about he wants control of where he's going and where he's playing, and he wants that leverage. But there have been some other guys who will take shorter term deals or will hold off on extensions for a year or whatever because they anticipate that the cap is going to go up and then their number is going to go up and they're willing to, you know, take the shorter term deal or wait and take that risk. Or in some cases, it's just you become eligible for more. That's why it was such a surprise when Jalen Brunson signed that extension with the Knicks, where if he had waited another year, he would have been entitled to, I think, some, you know, $50 or $100 million more in total guarantees. Anyway, it would be very interesting in baseball, where I feel like the AAV interest that dominates in hockey of like what's the average annual value of this contract has really faded into the background as guys have just said, well, if what I want is guaranteed dollars, 10 years, 12 years, 14, longer the better, right? Give me all the years you got. And if the AAV is low at the end, I don't really care because it's probably more than I'm going to be worth anyway if I became a free agent again after 8 years or 9 years or whatever. And so it would be funny if it ended up resulting in high-end baseball players and their agents saying, you know, we're really looking for, forget about the 12-year, we're looking for more like a 2-year deal this year. You know, give us that huge, you know, the Dodgers would talk about that for a while if they could entice guys to do it because they didn't want the long-term commitment. When Bryce Harper was a free agent, they were talking about like a 1-year, $60 million deal or something. Do you want to just reset the clock and do free agency in a year and we'll pay you, you know, almost double what anybody's ever made?
That was clown show stuff.
Right. I mean, never going to do that. Clown question, bro.
No, not clown question. good recall. And so here's this. So this is the fascinating thing. A conversation that often gets simplified, just put in a cap. As you can see, even coming up with a number is really hard because you've got to get 30 billionaires to agree to something that will work for all of them. So the top teams have to agree to come down, right? And the top teams are going to have to share more revenue because the bottom teams aren't going to reach a floor. So then,
that I think is the bigger kicker.
Well, yeah.
If they said, if this could be resolved with a cap of 300 and we would figure out some way to grandfather in where the Dodgers wouldn't have to immediately cut $50 million in payroll in a year or two, we were going to somehow ease that pain, but the cap was going to be 300 and the floor was going to be like 100 or 120 or whatever, something where it's not that far off the status quo. We're just maybe bumping up the bottom teams a little bit and we're shaving off the top teams a little bit, but we're keeping this huge gap. Still, the owners would balk if any revenue sharing is involved.
Well, that's the problem.
A very slight cap and floor relative to where they are now, I think that'd be actually probably doable. But the players would fight it. But the owners, I think, would be the top-end owners would be fine with that.
Well, if you said the cap is 320 and the floor is 120.
Yeah.
Okay, great. But
you've changed almost nothing.
That changes nothing in terms of competitiveness.
And I think the Dodgers would say, okay, fine. Our advantage remains pretty much the same. If you told the Dodgers they have to send a check to the Pirates, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Right? Which is, I mean, that's true.
But that's why the NFL is what it is. Because there is no advantage financially to being the New York Giants over being the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
That's why the Packers can be a thing in the NFL. And the problem is they got that done from the beginning. And you're just not going to retrofit that in to a league that's not gone that way for the last 120 years. It's going to be really difficult.
In some ways, ironically, it's the NFL benefiting from the fact that they became a popular sport much later.
Yeah.
And much more quickly and sort of all as a collective, right? And like baseball was already so popular. And then TV came into popular baseball, whereas the NFL sort of rose into popularity with TV not being what it is now, obviously, and dominating the entire sports landscape and their dollars just dwarfing what anybody else is doing. But they were a significant player already, and the league sort of rose together in this TV era. And so it's just the timing. I don't... it's the NFL deserves credit for how they set that up, but I think it's more about they benefited from really great timing than that they were somehow visionaries, right? Baseball sort of didn't have a choice but except to come into this in a piecemeal way. Like, it's just how the sport was.
Yeah, it's the way it's gone over the last few years. So if we're setting a cap, we've set the difficulties there. When we come back, we're going to talk about similar difficulties setting the floor, because that gets into the revenue sharing that we're talking about. I think we all agree, I believe, that every team in baseball that is below those top 10, 15 teams could spend more than they do. But that doesn't mean that it's $100 million more than they do.
The top teams could spend more than they do in
the
most
Dodgers,
cases.
The Dodgers could spend $500 million if they wanted to. They're an $800 million a year revenue producer. You could spend $500 million and have $300 left.
Which I think probably is, you know, Bob Nutting, say the owner of the Pirates, probably part of what he has in his mind, which is, if I said, okay, fine, I'm going to spend a higher percentage of my revenue than anybody else does just to try to get myself in the neighborhood of median payroll, the Dodgers are just going to respond by spending another 50.
Yeah.
You know, like, and now I'm right back where I was in terms of the delta between us, except I just took $50 million out of my own pocket.
Yeah. So the key to it, obviously, is going to be the revenue sharing stuff. We're going to pick it back up. If you guys have some legitimate things, we got a couple of commenters that are just off doing their own radio show. So just ignore those two guys. They don't want to contribute. They just want to be smartasses all night long. That's fine. If you want to contribute, feel free. All you got to do is hit us up on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. That's where we're streaming. And, of course, you can text 314-436-7900. We'll get back to Rush Hour Sports in a second here on KMOX.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
All right, back in on Rush Hour Sports. Snake Gatter in for Matt Pauly tonight. I'm Kevin Wheeler, and we're talking about labor stuff. Now, what's interesting to me is that the labor stuff, as we touched on this last night, Nate, it is going to have some impact on what's happening this offseason Although I don't think it needs to have any real impact, right? I think a lot of teams will use it as an excuse to do nothing. I don't think it should be really that way. Because if you look back to the last time we had the lockout, just before the lockout, right around that time, I mean, the Rangers were throwing money around, right? They signed Corey Seager. They threw a bunch of money at a couple of different guys. Marcus Semien, I think, was around that same time. So they kind of show you that it's not necessary to cut it back or do anything like that. And these owners probably have a good idea of roughly what the new system will look like, right? Like, they know if we get a total victory, it's this. If we get a compromise, it's this. And they have
a range. They probably have a better gauge than almost anyone on the likelihood of a lockout. And in particular, what the really important question, which is the likelihood of a lockout that that reduces the number of games that are played in 2027.
You just in saying that, you just hit a thing that's just driving me crazy with a lot of the baseball insiders. And I love them all, man. I love the national guys. I mean, I know most of them, not all, but and I like them all, but they do this. They get overly dramatic. Like, it is 100% guaranteed to be a lockout. Okay, but nobody really cares if you're locked out now.
Right. The players are functionally locked out right now anyway.
If you lock out, like, right after the World Series, okay, it takes away the fun of free agency. What we really care about is whether or not games are lost.
I don't think any guys are knocking on the gates at Busch Stadium like, let me in, please.
I mean, just so long as no games are lost, everything's okay. People forgive. There's a big gap between what happened in 94 and what happened in 2021, right? 2021, we got a late start. But we played a season. It was normal. You had a World Series. 1994 was the worst disaster that could hit a sport. You lost a World Series. You lost a championship. And blew out, 40% of a season. And it lasted into the next season. I don't see them ever doing that again. For a lot of the reasons before the show, you and I were kicking some of this around, and you made a bunch of good points about it. Like, this is a really bad time to pick a fight because you're trending upward. And why send that rolling back down the hill? Because you're trending upward in ratings. This was the most watched World Series in 40 years. And maybe that's the question too, Nate. I know that this will not make fans in Pittsburgh happy. Probably doesn't make Cardinals fans happy. But the sport could look at this and say, okay, is it worth it for fans in these smaller markets to be pissed off all the time if we're getting these kinds of television audiences, if we're getting these kinds of ratings, if we're making this kind of revenue?
And the answer is unquestionably yes. I mean, the NBA has answered that question, and they've answered it emphatically yes.
Yeah, they're right.
Right, league, I'm not necessarily, it's not a conspiracy theory or anything. I'm not saying the league actively puts its thumb on the scale. But the league does not mind that it's set up in such a way now, especially because of the amount of agency that players have, that hugely favors the biggest markets, right? Not always, right? Every once in a while, a team like the Cleveland Cavaliers through a once in a lifetime, once in a billion years, though?
Comes along where they happen to have
the best player of the generation who's born and raised
because,
in Cleveland.
Because LeBron's from Akron.
Right. And so all of a sudden, they become one of the haves for like a decade, right? But even now, as Cleveland's gotten good again, they've had to do it in a small market way, right? They've had to acquire a guy from another small market in a trade who was kind of chill and willing to
sign an extension. I'm a Pistons fan, okay? But Detroit's a big market.
Yes.
It's been a long time.
I think Detroit.
Now, they're getting good now, but look how long it took.
This has very little to do with sports.
It took 15 years.
I was talking to my wife about this the other day. I think Detroit is maybe the most mis-sized city in the mind of the average American.
Yeah. Right?
I think the average American puts Detroit in the bucket with St. Louis and Kansas City and Cincinnati.
Quite a bit bigger.
It is massively bigger. Spend one trip, go through the Detroit airport, and you'll find out just how different Detroit is from some of these other Midwestern cities.
Yeah, so I mean, even places like that and in other places in the NBA marketplace. I mean, look how
long it's really not about market size. It's about market sex appeal.
Right.
When you have that much, it's
look
about
at
where,
Dallas.
If you were a 20-something-year-old making $30 million, would you rather live in Detroit or Miami? Would you rather live in, New York or Sacramento? Right? Like those are the questions. And now that's a bad example because that is market size. But you could do Detroit against cities that are similarly or smaller size.
Yeah, I mean,
and you could do that same kind of analysis.
Yeah. And it's part of the challenge of what's going on here too. There are other things because, we didn't get to that part yet on setting the floor, but I think we know the floor can't really change in a meaningful way without really close to full revenue sharing. Like, we take all of the local money and we put it in a pool and then we divide it. Or maybe there's a way, and we'll get to this on the other side of the news. On the other side of the news, we'll talk about this. Maybe there's a way where every team keeps a certain percentage of their local revenue, and then the rest is put into a big bucket, and then they all share that. Short of that, no cap or floor system changes anything.
Nope.
That's Nate Gatter. I'm Kevin Wheeler. Stick around. It's Rush Hour Sports on KMOX.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds, and grow your business fast.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
All right, Rush Hour Sports on a Tuesday night. Nate Gatter in for Matt Pauly tonight. Kevin Wheeler with you here as usual. Feel free to join us on the stream if you'd like. Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, we're going strong there. Feel free to toss in a thought if you have one. We're doing a lot of baseball tonight. The GM meetings are going on, and it's a little bit of a slow roll there. I did see a couple things today that were interesting. Jeff Passan made a suggestion that the Cleveland Guardians should try to trade for Brendan Donovan, which I thought was interesting. There's a lot of interesting reasons for it in his explanation. One is that Donovan gives them a good, consistent bat that they could use really wherever they need somebody. Like, they need a second baseman. But if they were to trade Stephen Kwan, he could also slide to left field. So and Rob Serfolio, who is one of the guys working underneath Heim Bloom, came from Cleveland. So he knows their farm system. So I thought Jeff did a really nice job there of kind of connecting some dots. So we'll keep an eye on those types of things. I think tomorrow night, Matt Pauly will be out again tomorrow night. I'm going to do Sports Up Online tomorrow night. I'm going to try to get Derek Gould to join from Las Vegas from the GM meetings, and we'll see if we have any new information by then. But today, Nate and I were talking about the upcoming labor battle and, you know, whether or not it's even sensible to have it. Because really what it all comes down to, Nate, as you and I have talked about a couple times now, not just tonight but in previous times, is that it comes down to finding a better revenue-sharing plan. And what I think is maybe more interesting than the Players Association versus the owners, that'll be a battle that we see play out in public, and they're going to be lobbing grenades at each other and all of that. I think the more interesting stuff is what's going to be happening within those groups. How is the debate going within the owners when you have the smaller market teams going, guys, You got to help make up the gap here. We're partners. You need all 30 teams to have a league. And this league, by the way, is talking about expanding. They're going to do it. They will expand by two teams at some point in the next 5 years. We don't know when exactly, but we know that that's the plan. Manfred has said so. His plan was once you got Tampa Bay settled, and they're getting a new stadium, once you got the A settled, they're moving to Vegas, they were going to start looking at expansion, and they're doing that. So that's coming soon. How are you going to, you know, if you're looking at it from those owners that are like, well, wait a minute, we don't have the revenues to keep up, and then you got to convince the top guys to share more, and do they want to? I mean, do the Yankees or the Dodgers want to give up their advantage? I would think not. So I find that back and forth, and as you pointed out, Nate, the back and forth within the Players Association. The vast majority of the players aren't stars making a ton of money.
Right. I mean, the overwhelming majority.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it's going to come down to straight votes of various kinds in the players' union. So I actually think what, you know, the main thing we were talking about during the break is I think that the players' union probably would be more, if we could get to a world where there was going to be a lot of revenue sharing and there was going to be a relatively high floor to go with the cap, I think the owners would find, not more than they expect, because I'm sure they've thought that they've gamed this out, but that the players' union, maybe more than the typical fan expects, the players' union would be open to that as a solution, because most of the players' union doesn't care that much if, you know, Bryce Harper is able to make $30 million or $35 million or $40 million, right? They're perfectly happy. Or if Ohtani has to settle for the next Ohtani, to the extent there is one, has to settle for 50 instead of 70, right? Your guys in the mid-tier, let alone your guys making the league minimum, are really not concerned about that. But if in this scenario, that's what you do, is the carrot, one of the carrots would be the league minimum is going to go up a couple hundred thousand, right? Let's say now if you're a major leaguer, you're making $1 million a year, period.
Right,
nobody's
right.
making
and
under
right
seven
now
figures.
It's
like 758, whatever it is now.
Yeah.
It's gone up a lot, to be fair. I mean, it was 500-ish that long ago. So it's already been going up a lot. But, you know, you throw them a carrot at the bottom end to further entice those votes. Those guys aren't voting in solidarity with the dudes making $30+ million a year. Not that they don't want those guys to do it. Some of those guys fancy themselves that player in the future, right? Paul Skenes thinks of himself much more as a a $40 or $50 million a year player than he does a league minimum guy, even if he's technically a league minimum guy right now, right? He knows he's going to be, if he stays healthy or even close to healthy, he's going to be one of those ultra high earners. But most of those guys are not envisioning, they're smart enough to know their career is unlikely to lead to a $30 million a year contract.
Yeah, but how many of those young guys, which, by the way, make up a large percentage of the lowest paid guys,
a lot of them
look at it and go, well, I'm just biding my time till I can get that contract in there.
Probably some.
I think there's a lot.
guys who are relief pitchers, I don't think so. You've got to be top-end players, and you've pretty much got to be a starting pitcher or an elite bat. Those are the only ways that you're getting to that kind of territory, kind of air where it's going to make a difference.
Which way are you voting if you're Paul Skenes when you're a rookie?
Right.
Which way are you voting if you're a rookie of the year candidate?
Right. If you're Paul Skenes, if you're Mason Wynn, you're thinking about voting against.
Yeah.
But still, that's going to be at best, or at worst, depending on your perspective, 80% of the young guys are voting for.
Yeah, I think the problem is not the rationality, it's the delusion. Is that they all? Every guy that plays thinks they're better than they are.
Now we're talking about a bigger picture of American society, about how everybody's voting, thinking about the day they're going to make $2 million a year. They're going to be a billionaire.
It's not wrong. Yeah. It's not wrong. In fact, and it might even be more prevalent within the sports world because they can see how immediate it is. Right? It's their teammate literally across the locker room, and they can see where that path is. But it is an interesting back and forth that maybe the most interesting battles in this will be within each team rather than this is what I never understand. Okay. We can all sit here and look at this and say the real battles here are within each group. The battles really shouldn't be one group yelling at the other. It shouldn't be the owners complaining about what players make or that. And I hate when owners try to solve owner problems by making the players the solution. Like, it's such a disingenuous thing. The gap between the Dodgers and the Pirates does not exist because of the players' union. It doesn't. It exists because L.A.'s bigger than Pittsburgh.
Right.
It's not complicated. It has nothing to do with the players. Why is it the players' problem to solve?
I mean, I hear you.
Here's why.
The reason is the rich guys
don't want to give up what they got.
Well, and in theory, it's both parties' problem to solve, and they both give up some of what they got because they both benefit. And that's where it's going to fall apart, is that the Dodgers would have to give up so much to make this work, and it's very unlikely. As far as the Dodgers are concerned, baseball is pretty damn healthy right now. Right? Baseball is serving the Dodgers just fine. How much healthier could baseball get to the point that the Dodgers having to give away potentially tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars a year between what they want to spend on their team and can't and what they have to revenue share to the smaller teams? How much would they have to get back before that's a good investment for them? It's almost impossible. Baseball would have to grow enormously
for the Dodgers to
be making money in a way that would make sense, right? One of the things we're going to talk about here at the end is if you wanted a path there toward this kind of revenue sharing, it would almost certainly have to involve a singular TV setup, right? It would have to involve the streamlining of TV rights where not only all national rights, which are already in the hands of the league, but also all local rights would have to be in the hands of the league in the way that it is for the NFL. Now, the NFL doesn't have strict delineations between national and local rights, but the NFL controls 100% of the TV product that goes from any NFL team, with the exception of preseason. That's the only place where the NFL has actual local TV deals that exist. So Major League Baseball would need to do that. And then they could sell, you know, for example, the amount of money Major League Baseball could make from an ESPN or another similarly motivated streamer would be astronomical if they could sell them every single game for every single team.
Yeah.
Right? What is the power? How much could you sell MLB TV for?
It won't be one, I wouldn't think, because the NFL's not one. The NFL's got five different TV partners.
Sure, but what ESPN would want is, we want MLB TV, but we want every team, and we want no blackouts, with the one exception being, same as what it would be for Sunday Ticket, other nationally available games. Right, we want every local game for every team.
Right, so
basically
you're sell
the way
it.
That Sunday Ticket is, every out of market.
And you're
going
to sell quote unquote primetime games to the other networks: Monday Night Baseball, Sunday Night Baseball,
and
whatever.
And those will
it
be not
be.
Included in
playoffs
your Sunday
will be
Ticket
different.
Equivalent.
Also, playoffs would be
exactly. It's exactly like Sunday Ticket, where you're paying and for Sunday Ticket, people pay an enormous price for now 18 Sundays. And those are 6 hours, basically, of you're getting out of those 18 Sundays, maybe 7 hours you're getting out of those 18 Sundays. So people are paying that price, even if they watch every hour, every Sunday, for barely 100 hours worth, somewhere around 100 of football. And most of that is going to go unwatched, right? Because you can only watch... I guess some people have a bunch of screens.
Unless
you can
watch I used to flip a lot.
Yeah.
I don't have the ticket now because it's not worth it because I have conflicts, but yeah.
Right. So it's a huge price. Now, I think baseball wouldn't be able to command anywhere near the price on an hourly basis or a per game basis, obviously, because it's just a different sport. But that's an enormous amount of inventory that stretches over a very long period of the year. And it would be hugely desirable to a number of different networks and streaming services. And ESPN in particular has made it very clear they've coveted that kind of arrangement for a long time because of what it would do for their, you know, previously ESPN Plus, now their sort of ESPN all-in streaming service that's sort of nebulously branded.
Yeah.
That would be a game changer. But the huge complicating factor there is that not only are you dealing with teams that might just not want a revenue share, but you're also dealing with some of those big teams that won't want a revenue share that own some or all of the networks that they're on, right? The Dodgers, the Yankees, the Cubs, the Red Sox, who all have stakes in their local networks or own them outright. What does that look like, right?
Well,
what does it look
MLB,
like if the Cubs
MLB
and the
could
Yankees,
cut them a check.
Right, if MLB is going to have to buy out Yes Network for the Yankees, which, by the way, airs a bunch of stuff other than the Yankees.
Yeah.
Right, there's a lot. Does MLB want to be in the business of doing, like, Jets shoulder programming? Who knows?
Maybe.
Marquee, where the Cubs play. Yeah. What does that look like if MLB is trying to buy Marquee Sports Network?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the most... It's still impractical, but if you wanted to find a route... It would be MLB finds a way to bring all 30 teams rights ownership to where MLB, the league, owns 100% of the TV rights.
And if I'm the Yankees and Dodgers, good luck convincing me to go along.
Right. Very unlikely. But if they could get it.
So here's what I'm going to do.
It's one of the
I'm going to give up my competitive advantage and my financial advantage. And what do I get out of it?
Right. And it's not like, I mean, MLB doesn't just have the they have it, I guess, kind of. But the league can't just unilaterally be spending hundreds of millions or billions of dollars to try to buy out all these networks.
Guess where they could do that, though? You get the expansion fees from the new franchises.
Potentially.
And maybe those teams get bigger chunks as a means of doing that.
Yeah.
A lot of ways that they can raise revenue, including adding two new franchises, which also adds new marketplaces to increase the value of your TV deals and sell more tickets and do all those kind of things. I think that's probably going to be a big part of it. All right, we got to take a quick time out. We come back, we'll wrap this show up. Nate's got Sports Open Line for you coming up after the 6 o'clock news. We'll get a tease on that and wrap this discussion next. All right, getting ready to wrap up Rush Hour Sports. Nate Gatter in for Matt Pauly tonight. I'm Kevin Wheeler. What do you got on Sports Open Line tonight?
Pretty exciting, actually. Josh Schertz, nice. Head coach of the Billikens, is going to join us. They're off to that 3-0 start. He's going to be our first guest at 6:20. Amy Markscores will join us, as she does every Tuesday
hockey
evening
Amy.
Now.
She's known as Hockey Amy now.
Yes. Yeah, thank God, too, because somebody's got to be the hockey guy
around
here.
I like Amy Markscores. I like Hockey Amy, too. Yeah. I'm glad they're both around.
So, how different are they? That's the question. This is going to be my first taste of hockey.
No, it's not any different. It's fun. Amy does a great job.
We're going to talk a little bit about the now several days old story of Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz, the Cleveland relievers getting indicted. We're going to visit with Jen Cease, talk a little St. Louis City. You know, they hired a new sporting director recently. So, I take my opportunities when I'm hosting Sports
Get
Open
them all
Line,
in, right?
Kevin, it's anything in the last week or so qualifies as topical. Because anything that I've had a thought about in the last week, we're going to get that in.
Yeah, well, you don't know when the next perfect timing is going to be, right?
Exactly.
Go get it. Yeah, go get it. All right, before we get done, any last remnants from this conversation that you want to get through? Because to me, I think what we've outlined is the simplicity of the complexity in that there's internal decision that's going to be need to be made. Big markets are going to have to compromise. If they don't, nothing will change. And then from there, you can go to the players and say, we want this, we want this. And then you can find ways to balance it out. I hate caps for one reason. I hate the restrictive nature of like player movement. It makes trades way harder. Especially like the NHL. It's a little easier in the NBA because they have trade exceptions. They got all kinds of little tweaks. I think the NBA's kind of got it right.
The NBA has the perfect
They have a lot of ways to, you know, hometown stars can get more money by staying home. Like, I like a lot of what they do. Maybe we could steal a few of those ideas. But generally, caps annoy me because you can get stuck, and now what do? You can't decide, hey, we're going to go above our budget for a few years to get better. You're just like, well, we're just here.
Right. They have an inaccessibility for fans, right? I think MLS is a perfect example of that, speaking of St. Louis City. I mean, the MLS salary cap and roster rules is so convoluted that there have been executives in MLS who don't completely understand it to the detriment of their teams, right? It's sort of a notorious concern that teams have when bringing in outsiders, especially European sporting directors who have other executives who have no experience in MLS, you're going to need a real crash course here. This is going to be a college level course in what the heck has been set up here. So I hear what you're saying in terms of the inaccessibility, and that's where the NBA has a cap that is on the basic level very simple, in part because they have few players.
But how is anybody under the cap?
Right. Nobody. And so for that reason, it's also a little bit simpler for fans in that it's relatively rare that a team in the NBA has to do something for no reason other than the cap.
Right, right.
Whereas in the NFL, I think even though the cap's a little fake and, you know, they put in dead years and all that kind of stuff to punt things, teams like the New Orleans Saints, for example, the way they ultimately did have to pay the piper, like in the NFL, all you can really do is kick the can down the road. Sooner or later, you get to the can and you can't kick it again. You know, it's filled with cement now and you just got to deal with it.
Yeah.
I am overall, if there was a way to get there, and I'm not saying there is, on a theoretical level, I am very much in favor of some kind of cap and floor. Not because I hate the players, not because I think it's bad for a guy to get a lot of money. Like, I understand that one of the only downsides with the NBA system is that, essentially, by definition, a player on a max contract who is, by rule, limited in his earning potential is underpaid, right? Unless he happens to be worth on an open market exactly what the maximum salary is that he can make, he is definitionally underpaid because he's bumping up against the ceiling. I get that. That's not great. But I think the overall benefits, especially when you account for the fact that I think the players as a collective unit could make the same or probably more money in that scenario, I'm willing to stomach the degree to which it is anti-labor. And I'm not completely waving that away, but I'm willing to stomach that in exchange for, I think, just such a greater investment and engagement from fans in those smaller markets. And it just kills me as a baseball fan to see those kind of historic baseball markets in Pittsburgh, in Cincinnati, in Kansas City, at times in Cleveland and Detroit, where they're just, the fans feel, so many of the fans feel disenchanted. They feel disenfranchised to the degree that makes sense here. That's kind of the sentiment, is they feel left out of the process. They feel like their team has been left behind. And that really does crush me. And so I hope we could, if only so that then, if the Pittsburgh Pirates were in last place, we could say it's your own damn fault. That would be nice, you know? And I think the fans, most Pirates fans recognize that, right? They chant, sell the team. They hate Bob Nutting more than anybody else does. Nobody needs to tell them that they have an owner who doesn't spend enough on the team. But it'd be nice to just take one layer of that problem away.
Yeah. I also think they maybe need to relook at their own histories, because the Royals were basically the farm team for the Yankees for 40 years.
I get it.
And that was before big money. Just one of those weird...
I hear you.
Yeah.
I'm a romantic about the small markets,
I get you.
Do what you will.
I get you, man. Have fun tonight.
I will.
Sports Open Line's coming up after the news with Nate Gatter here on KMOX.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.